There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want because this is
Mystery Playhouse. 90.1.
Good evening, and welcome once again to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of Hearts.
Come in. Tonight's our 50th show, our golden anniversary, so to speak. Hard to imagine us surviving so long, especially you, huh? Like some of the fan mail I've received lately, here's one. It says, "I can't take it any longer," signed Susan Ellen Side. Or should I say, Sue Eastside for short, huh? You know, I can tell she had a mind sharp as a razor, or something else is blood all over it. Here's another, and I quote, "I love your last show. It was so funny I died laughing." You know, by the burnt edges on the letter, I'm willing to bet he wrote this in a gas oven. Laughing gas, I hope. At least he can say his humor had a wide range, huh? Oven range? So much for his half-baked ideas, though. And on to our next note. Yes, this is our last one. It says, "Dear Count, do you broadcast your show live?" Well, the stupid question. I recorded dead, of course, huh? Which brings us to tonight's scary lineup. We're here suspense with Judgment Day at Crippled Deer, and our grand finale will be the immortal Mystery Playhouse presentation of The Chicken Heart That Ate the Universe. So don't chicken out on it, huh? But first, it's the witching half hour on our 50th anniversary show, so scary!
Ladies and gentlemen, you can stop worrying about cigarette irritation and start smoking for pleasure. Remember this important fact. Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is entirely free of a source of irritation used in the manufacture of all other leading cigarettes. That is the plain and simple truth about Philip Morris superiority. And that's why we say, you'll be glad tomorrow you smoked Philip Morris today.
Call for Philip Morris.
The Witching Half Hour with your mysterious hostess, Hagatha, and her black cat, Midnight.
Welcome, children. Midnight and I have been waiting for you, haven't we, Midnight? Meow. Oh, yes, for tonight's seance is so chilling, we thought we could use a little warm blood. Oh, yes, gather round if you dare. Blow out the candle and join hands. Call forth the spirits and hear the tale. Nice to meet you.
I know you think I'm a murderer, but I can assure you I've never killed anyone. Yes, it's true, I was there. I may have even carried out the deed. But I was only the implement, only the tool. I never personally killed anyone. Would you prosecute a gun when someone else pulled the trigger? How then can I be guilty for killing strangers I didn't even care about? I was only following orders. They made me do it. They are the ones who are solely responsible. If anything, I should be rewarded for blowing the whistle on them. If it weren't for me, no one would even know they existed. It would just keep on happening to someone else like it has time and time again. I wasn't the first of the victims, and I'm sure I won't be the last. It happens with absolutely no warning whatsoever. I was minding my own business, a tool shop off Main. It was Christmas season and sales weren't good. I was wondering how to stay in business, but I should have been wondering how not to be insane.
Oh my goodness, it's freezing out there.
Good evening, madam. May I help you?
Yes. I've been looking for a stocking stuffer for my husband. He's one of those do-it-yourselfers. Is something the matter?
No, ma'am. Just a headache, I think. Perhaps it'll go away.
Oh, it's that flu that's going around. I'll have to be careful not to catch it from you. Now, do you have something for carpentry?
What part of carpentry?
Why, the wood part, of course.
I meant what part of the procedure? Sanding, drilling, or cutting?
Oh, all of the above, I guess. Are you feeling dizzy?
No. No, it's just my head. I could tell there's people.
Yes?
Oh, nothing. If your husband sands by hand now, perhaps he'd like one of these. You just plug it in and it does all the work. Allow me to demonstrate.
My, it certainly is loud.
What do you want with me? What do you want with me?
I beg your pardon?
I know you're in there. Get out! Get out, I say!
Watch out with that thing! For heaven's sake!
Get out, damn it! Get out!
I certainly will. And Merry Christmas to you.
And did that stop them? It fueled them on. The more I fought, the more they pursued me. Finally, I couldn't take it any longer. I decided to make good my threat. I'd go to any lengths to drive the demons from my head. Yes, even if it meant killing. Good evening, sir. You made it just before I closed.
Huh. Well, I wouldn't have ever noticed your shop, except for you were the last place with the sign still lit.
Well, I'm glad you found us. Don't mind if I draw the shades and turn the sign, do you? You'll be my last customer tonight.
Thank you. Actually, I wasn't exactly looking for tools, but I thought I might pick up a hammer if you had the kind with the rubber-covered handle.
Why, certainly. Let me just get this.
Oh, I wouldn't bother locking the door. The hammer's all I need, and then I'll be on my way.
Oh, that's all right. I'll just unlock it when I'm done. After all, I hate to have to turn people away. Now, it's a hammer you're after.
Yes, with the rubber-coated handle.
Yeah, I think I have just what you need.
No, not a sledgehammer, just a conventional size, and with a rubber handle.
Are you sure? After all, this is pretty lightweight for its size. Don't you at least want to feel it?
That won't be necessary.
Oh, yes, it will.
What are you doing? Put that thing down,
will
you?
I will on your head.
No, please.
It was so simple. I took the unconscious body down to the cutting room where all the high power tools are kept. He awoke while I was tying him up.
Oh, what's going on? Where am I?
We're down in the basement, and I'm about to give you a live demonstration for as long as you can stay alive.
Oh, my God. This has got to be a joke. Someone's putting you up to this.
Oh, yes. Someone is putting me up to this, and they're here right now witnessing everything. If you want to talk them out of it, be my guest, but I've given up myself. It's all up to you now.
What are you talking about? Who else is here?
Oh, come on. Don't tell me you're going to play that game. If you want to pretend they're not in your head, too, go right ahead. But when this drill bit digs its way into your brain, I think you'll be a little more informal.
It's money you want. I'll get you money, as much of it as you want.
Oh, bravo, bravo. But you're going to have to do better than that. If you don't want to add to the natural number of openings in your skull, I suggest you start begging to them for your life.
Please, I beg you.
Not me, you fool, them. They're the ones I'm doing this for. And if they don't leave now, they're going to have to watch you come apart piece by piece. And I won't stop until the very last one of them is left.
Yes, I see them now. And they're all leaving just like you wanted.
Oh, nice try, but they're still there. You're not fooling anyone.
Help! Help!
Oh,
somebody, please!
Go ahead! Scream to your heart's content! This place is well insulated, so even the machine noise can't be heard! Shall we begin?
No! No! Please! Ah! Ah!
I was amazed how quickly he died. I tried to draw it out as long as possible, but I guess I just got carried away. I probably should have saved the head part for last. Oh, well, there was always next time, and there would be a next time, all right. I could tell it was having an effect. Some of them actually left, but others stayed on. It was almost as if they liked it. Hard to believe, isn't it? Someone enjoying someone else in pain? But I suppose that's why they were there in the first place, to see someone else suffer. Well, I'd give them plenty of what they wanted, but to such a degree they couldn't stand it any longer. I took the body apart, limb by limb, piece by piece. You never realize what a fragile thing the body is until you've undone one. I wrapped it all up in brown paper bags and stuck them in the freezer, just like meat. In fact, that's what gave me the idea of how to draw in more customers to finish my job. I put a sign advertising free holiday turkeys. It was bound to bring in more people right off the street. And would it ever work well?
Hello? Anybody here?
Good day, madam.
Oh, there you are. You startled me.
I'm sorry. I was just straightening up in the basement. It's been a madhouse all day.
Well, I can see why. Your sign says you're giving away turkeys. Is that true?
Cross my heart, hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye.
What do I need to purchase?
Absolutely nothing. I'm just giving them away.
It sounds too good to be true.
It is. It is. Just trying to get permanent customers, that's all. Would you like to be one?
Why, yes, if you're just giving them away. But I must be honest, I don't predict much of a use for tools.
Well, perhaps your husband.
I'm not married.
I see. Well, that's certainly no reason to deprive you of your free gift.
Why are you locking the door?
We've got to go downstairs to get it. I didn't want to leave the shop unattended, even for a moment.
Don't you trust me?
Oh, I didn't mean that. I need you to come along and hold the door open. They're very large turkeys, and I need both hands. The question is, do you trust me?
What can I lose?
Good point. Just follow me.
You want me to hold this one?
No, no, no. It's a door downstairs. Just watch your step on the stairs. Now, let's get a little light on the subject, shall we? What's the matter?
Well, I saw a row of legs sticking out beyond that box. At first, I didn't realize they were dummies.
Oh, yeah, they're dummies, all right. Care to join them? Yes, I had several other dummies that I hadn't worked on yet. They were still all out cold. But I wanted my guests to be awake when I worked on them. After all, it was their pain I hoped would exorcise the possessors of my mind. And if they had any compassion at all, they wouldn't be able to stand what I was about to do. After closing the shop, I placed all five of my tied-up customers on the cutting table, naked, side by side. You should have seen their expressions when they woke up together. They wouldn't forget them for the rest of their lives. Wake up, you sleepyheads. Time to get up. I want everyone to have a chance to meet one another before I meet you. Get it? Meet you as in cut you up like pieces of meat. You're not laughing. What's the matter? Wake up, huh? Oh, don't be so grumpy. The pain in your heads will go away soon enough. It'll be replaced with something much more painful. Behold, a device I created myself. I call it the key because it works on the same principle as a key that you open a sardine can with. Oh, except this mechanically peels your skin off. See, this regulates the speed and this controls the gear, huh?
For crying out loud, what do you want with us?
Oh, don't you know? I want you to persuade them to leave. If you can't do it with reason, I'm prepared to do it with gore. Everyone has their limits. Mine's already been reached and surpassed, but I have nowhere else to go. Don't you see? I'm trapped. But they have somewhere else to go. In someone else's head, I don't care. Into their own. I just want them out of mine. Is that asking too much to control your own head? Is it? Is it?
Have mercy!
Oh, go ahead. Ask for mercy. Scream for mercy. But don't ask me for it. It's out of my hands. I'm just doing what I have to survive. And I won't stop until the very last one of them's out of my mind. Or until I've used up every last human being. Yeah!
This is my chilly midnight fog, yes? Meow? Oh, we'll need to perform a sacrifice if we want to continue. How about a word from our sponsor? They should do nicely.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can stop worrying about cigarette irritation and you can start smoking for pleasure. Pure pleasure. and nothing but pleasure. Listen carefully, for what you are about to hear is the simple proof of why Philip Morris is better for you to smoke, better for you than any other leading brand. This proof is based on a scientific fact published in Foremost Medical Journal. Let me tell it to you. Philip Morris is entirely free of a source of irritation used in the manufacture of all other leading cigarettes. That fact is important for you to know, for it is the basic reason why you're better off smoking Philip Morris. That's why from your first Philip Morris in the morning to your last one at night, your throat will feel clean and comfortable. For no matter how many cigarettes you smoke, whether you smoke two cigarettes a day or two packs a day, this one fact remains. In Philip Morris, you enjoy the one cigarette entirely free of a source of irritation used in the manufacture of all other leading cigarettes. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the plain and simple truth about Philip Morris superiority. And that's why we say, you'll be glad tomorrow you smoked Philip Morris today.
Well, children, I guess we've learned an important spelling lesson tonight. The difference between M-E-E-T and M-E-A-T. It could be a matter of life and death. Oh, so now let's hear the exciting second half, no pun intended, of our chilling tale. Nice to meet you.
It was a long night, a very long night. But I was getting pretty good. My latest guest stayed alive for hours and hours. I worked on into the morning. I got strength from the fact that some of them, the demons, were leaving. I don't know if it was from the terror or the boredom. I didn't care. Either way, it was only a matter of time, and I could go on and on and on. It almost became routine. I took them apart and wrapped them up and put them in the same deep freeze. The thing was getting pretty full. I put them right alongside the other turkeys, the ones I had gotten just in case two or more customers came at a time, and I actually did need to give some away. But that never happened. Yet I was still glad I had taken the precaution, because the very next day, the cops came. We're not open until 10.
Police business.
Oh, certainly. One moment.
Good morning. I'm Detective Enright, and this is Lieutenant Sampson.
I'm Jack Thompson.
Good to meet you, Mr. Thompson. May we come in?
Oh, yes, of course, of course. Have I done something wrong?
I don't know. Have you?
Just
kidding. It's a department joke.
Very overused, I must say.
No, we're actually here trying to track down a missing person who was in the area last night. A young woman. Her name is Lisa Hughes. This is her picture. Did she come in here?
I don't think so. I mean, I know she didn't.
Are you the owner?
Yes, I am.
Were you the only one working here last night?
Yes, sir, I was.
Well, you know, that's odd. The girl's friend said she was going in here to get a door prize or something.
Oh, yes, the free turkeys. Yeah, I gave away quite a few. In fact, I thought that's why you were here. I was afraid someone gotten sick or something, but I keep them frozen. There shouldn't have been any problem with that.
Well, the girl, Mr. Thompson, we're interested in her. Would you have another look at the photograph, please?
Oh, certainly. Well, you know, someone like that did come by, but she had on a scarf, and I didn't get to see her too well. I just gave her the turkey, and she left.
I see. Would you mind if we looked around, Mr. Thompson?
Do you have a warrant?
No, but we can get one.
I was just kidding. It's a department store joke.
Very overused, I must say.
No, come on in. I'll show you around. Yes, I was terrified. I had cleaned up. I wasn't worried about that. Everything was squeaky clean. I had even resanded the cutting table and flushed the soiled dust down the toilet. There were no more clues. But I was worried about the way I acted. Too uptight or too excited. The police were trained to watch for such things. And all the while, they were in my head. More of them than ever before. I could feel them watching, waiting. But I wasn't going to satisfy them. I would act cool and calm. I could pretend just like anybody else. And this is the demonstration room. I also use it for storing.
Looks like you did some sanding here recently. The top is still fresh.
Why, yes, I just did some last night. I've been working on some Christmas presents. You a carpenter?
No, I've never had the time. I'd like to be one, though.
Yeah, but we got all these goose chases to perform, like this Lisa Hughes girl. She's probably just run off with her boyfriend, but her mom calls and raises hell over it. PR. Gotta go through the motions for the public, but you know all about that.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like this turkey thing, it would be cheaper and certainly easier just to give them money for coming in. But it's the image of the holiday turkeys. You gotta play the game.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
What in the world is this thing?
Pardon?
Well, what in heaven's name does this gizmo do?
Oh, that. I call that the key. It's just a tool I'm trying to make for myself.
What does it do?
Have you ever hunted?
Sure, when I was a kid.
Well, I'm trying to make something to skin the hides off of deer and things. I got some friends that bring a buck or two into town, and if I clean it, I get half the kill. Not bad, huh?
Quite a contraption. How does it work?
Well, you just insert this under the skin, I mean hide, and wrap it around like a key to a sardine lid. And then you just hit the switch here and...
I bet they're glad to be dead with something like that peeling their hide off. You plan to try to market that?
I hadn't thought of it much, but that's an interesting idea.
Gee, I wish we could stay for a demonstration, but I'm afraid we're going to have to move on to the next place. Is it all right for us to call you again if we need any more details on the Hughes girl?
I'm not sure I could be much of a help, but sure, whatever I can do.
There is one other thing, actually.
Sure, anything.
Could you let us see the turkeys?
Why?
You said she took one, and I just wanted to have an idea how heavy it is. I mean, if they're really heavy, then maybe that would suggest a boyfriend or someone was nearby to give her a hand carrying it.
Oh, good idea. I never thought of that. Right this way. Right here.
Holy moly, what is all that stuff?
It's the venison I told you about. The fella brought in $2 just last night. I'd offer you some, but he hasn't selected his cut yet. You can have one of the turkeys, though.
Nah, we can't. But how can you tell the deer from the turkeys?
Well, there's very few parts of a deer that are as big and round as a turkey. Here you go.
My, this is a good size.
I want to keep my customers happy. After all, it is a Christmas gift. Why don't you take one for yourself, both of you?
No, thank you. We've already got one.
Well, speak for yourself. I mean, I haven't gotten my wife one yet, and he is giving them away to the public. It is all right then, isn't it?
Sure, I guess if you need one.
Here, I'll give you a smaller one if it'll make you feel better.
Thanks. I'll remember this place next time I need tools. Well, I guess we better be moving along.
One other thing, Mr. Thompson. What size did Ms. Hughes get?
Oh, the largest one I had.
That's what I thought. It sounds more and more like elopement.
Yeah, they probably used it for a wedding dinner.
We'll be seeing you, Mr. Thompson. No, we'll find our own way out. But thanks for the tour.
And thanks for the bird.
Yeah, and the bird. You have a Merry Christmas, all right?
Yeah, you too. So they left, without suspecting a thing. The voices were screaming in my head. They knew they had been beaten. And I knew it too. Because soon after that, it finally happened. My head belonged to me again.
Everything all right in there, honey?
Yes, dear. I just broke one of the saucers. I'm trying to get at the good china for tomorrow's dinner. We want to look our best for the Gibsons.
Yeah, I'm glad they're going to be able to join us. It'll be nice to have someone to share Christmas dinner with. Maybe next year they'll invite us over and you won't have to cook. You need a hand in there?
No, I've got it. You just finished that paper of yours. It's just nice to have you around the house for once. I still can't believe they didn't give you Thanksgiving off.
Now, dear, let's not start on that. We gotta take turns down at the station. You know that.
I suppose. It was nice of them to give you a free turkey anyway.
They didn't give it to me. I got it at a store that was giving them away.
I should have known.
What's that?
Oh, nothing, dear. Just thinking I better take it out now if I want it thawed in time for tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, it says here that Chinese make up a fourth of the world's population, and if the Chinese were to march into the sea would overflow and drown the rest of the world. What do you think of that? What is it? What is it? What is it?
I'm coming! I'm coming! I'm coming! I'm coming! Oh, my God! My God! It's her! Oh, it's Lisa Hughes! Her severed head!
And that's the entire story. All of it. So you see, they're the ones that should be on trial here, not me. I'm as much of a victim as anybody else.
These, voices in your head, did they ever return?
Why, yes, Your Honor. They're here right now. They return whenever I tell my story, but I wouldn't call them voices because they never talk to me. They're just there, witnessing everything I do that's interesting to them. It's almost as if they're an audience and the ratings go up whenever I do something exciting. See, that's where I made my only mistake. I thought I could drive them away with blood and gore, but it only attracts them. Oh, a few maybe tune out, but the other ones, they wouldn't miss a second of it. So I had the right idea, but the wrong method, see? That's why I don't mind going to prison. I hope you give me a life sentence, because they won't follow me there. It's too boring for them. There's not enough suffering for them there, don't you see?
But certainly you're aware that there's a lot of violence and brutality in prison. Why, inmates have even died there.
Violence? Brutality? They would follow me there. But what about solitary confinement?
I don't have any say on those matters. Certainly, certainly you don't want that.
Yes, I do, don't you see? That's what fuels them on. Violence and brutality. That's entertainment to them. They're monsters, I tell you, all of them. And they're all here now, witnessing, hearing every last word. I know they're there. I see you in there. I know what you want with me. I give up. You win. You win. I can't get rid of you unless I get rid of... Wait a second. Where am I? Where am I right now?
You're in the Leon County Court building, facing charges.
No. I mean physically. Where exactly am I? What floor?
Don't even consider it, pal. It's six stories down, and we've got more firepower than a regiment of... Stop him, boys! He's heading for the window!
And midnight this time next week for The Witch's Half Hour. Nice to Meet You is written, narrated, and directed by Kirk Kurtzsteiner and starred Adriana Estrada as the first customer. The second customer was Leif Winar. Lisa Hughes was played by Lynn Worthington. Vinnie Politan played the detective. Robert Emmett, the lieutenant. Margie Merez, his wife. The judge was Scott Martin. The guard, Jeff Adams. And also featured were Rudy Fuentes, Chris Mingia, Kathy Morris, Lillian Herales, and Johanna Rogers. The Witch's Half Hour is a KURT production.
Geez, that one was scary, huh? You better believe it. Nice to meet you. Ooh! He sure had a heart of ice, huh? Along with livers, lungs, and assorted other parts, huh? Remind me to get a few tips from him next time. I'm especially short of tiptoes, huh? You know, now I know why they say that during the holiday season, more deaths occur, huh? Oh, well, if nothing else, he can always say that he got to carve for Christmas, huh? I thought it was very interesting seeing him seesaw between sanity and insanity, especially sawing, huh? You know, though, it's too bad they discovered the fridge, though, really, huh? I mean, after that, you know he was headed for the cooler, huh? Now, if I were him, I'd have claimed it wasn't my doing, but instead a freeze frame-up, huh? Really, that's what they said. If only he hadn't given away the turkey, then his goose wouldn't have been so cooked, huh? And he had such talent, too. If he could have been a productive citizen, say, in the army, it would have been so much better. He sure had a knack for drilling, huh? I guess the moral of the story is, don't ever try jumping bail, huh? Up next is Escape with Judgment Day of Crippled Eel. So scary!
Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. One of four people trapped in an isolated trading post somewhere in the Yukon Territory. The blizzard outside making escape impossible. And you know that before the spring thaws release you, before you can leave this cabin behind you, one of your companions, by consent of the others, will be killed.
Listen now as Escape brings you Les Crutchfield's story, Judgment Day at Crippled Deer.
And most unlikely that you ever heard of Crippled Deer Crossing, and you would have great difficulty locating it on a map, even though the Yukon for the most part is vast and empty. Crippled Deer is a trading post, one sprawling pine log building, nothing more. But it's been my home and my business for 20 years now, and in the course of time I have grown fond of it, even grown fond of the bitter cruelty of the Great North. Yes, fond too of the long winters, snowbound, dark, when the trappers and miners have all gone outside, and we wait alone for the coming of spring. But of one such winter I am not fond. I still wake at times from dreaming of it, lie shuddering and fearful in the darkness. That was the winter of the black snow, when the horror came moaning on the wind and no man could look in another's eyes. Without shame and loathing and hate.
Listen, LeClaire. Listen to it. I know that sound and the gray skies and the black in the west. It's going to hit us before tomorrow morning.
Oh, it's close, all right. What do you think, Joe?
Many wolf track in snow last night. Much hunting. Bear now asleep. I think maybe one day... Maybe two, then. Big blizzard come.
All right, 2 days, then. That still cutting is too close. He ought to be here by now.
Real anxious, ain't you, fella? Just can't wait. Honey, what smart cook got that we ain't got?
You wouldn't know, Tiffany.
You would know, wouldn't you, sweetheart?
At least he's got a civil tongue in his head. And he's also got a lot of things you'd give your right arm for, Higgins. He knows how to laugh and live and how to make other people laugh and live.
I'll bet he does.
And he knows how to treat a woman.
Yeah, any woman the way I hear it.
You shut that mouth of yours right now or I'll make you wish I had.
You will.
Well, Higgins, in a day or two now the blizzard comes. Close the trails. And we here then all of us together the rest of the winter. Here's this one building, no way to get out. I tell you once and for all, I will not have this kind of feeling.
Then let him shut up.
Dad, take a joke.
That's enough, Higgins. You've got a right to be worried. I worried myself.
Marco and Blakey don't have enough grub up there. If they get snowed into that mine, they can't possibly last out the winter. And that blizzard is close. Should have come down by now.
I was just funny, you heard LeClaire. Sorry, Bill.
Then watch what you're saying.
Don't worry. They'll make it all right. Why, Marco Moore knows more about this country and the weather than most people.
No talk. Here's sound.
What is it, Joe?
Dog team. Sled coming.
Marco. Oh. Must be Marco and Blake.
Where's those binoculars? Maybe we can see them when they come through the gap, huh?
Keegan, help me open the window.
Might not be them, Bill. Could be Robertson.
Not him. He's too smart a Mountie to get snowed in and this far from Dawson. Come on, push.
All right, here. Let me see now.
It's nearly too dark to... Hey, there's a sled, all right, coming out of the gap.
It's them. It is them, isn't it?
I can't quite make... No. No, it's only one man.
A Marty.
No. No, not Robertson. It's Blakey. But Marco is not with him.
What?
Blakey coming in alone.
Alone?
Two partner go. One come back very bad.
No, shut up, Joe. Don't pay any attention to him, Bell. Marco is all right.
He better be. For Blakey's sake, he better be.
You know, they've been partners 3 seasons now, pal. There's no reason to think anything is wrong.
You look, dog team, lead dog. Marco's dog.
Pop.
He's right. Is that big husky with a white star. Marco got him 2 years ago.
Bring up the man, Ben. Bring up the girl. Blakey is back.
I don't know. I just don't know.
Prodigal son, Ken. Star for a fatted calf and maybe a glass of two rye whiskey.
Blakey.
Well, LeClaire, uglier than ever. Indian Joe, what are you having to tribe, huh? Hiya. Oh, Higgins, look at that paunch. And Belle. Ah, sweetheart, you make up for all of them. Gorgeous.
Blakey, where's Marco?
Marco? Well, ain't he here yet?
Should he be?
Well, he pulled out a few days before I did. I stayed on till yesterday working the claim. Of course, he might have stopped off someplace.
Where? Stopped off where?
Well, maybe at Jackson River. The factory at the post there's got a pair of mighty pretty daughters, Belle.
You better get your dogs out of harness, Blakey, and get your stuff inside. It may start snowing.
Yeah, looks like it's building up a good one.
Say, Blakey, that lead dog there, he's new, ain't he?
Why, I guess you could call it that. That's Marco's dog. Marco traded with me. He figured I'd be running closer to the storm, so I'd need a better lead dog than he would, so he traded with me.
I see.
You see what? What's this all about? You act like it's a matter of life and death.
The four of us talked it over while Blakey was unpacking his sled. It didn't add up. We agreed on that. At least it didn't add up the way Blakey was claiming. He was a born liar, we knew that, and Marco should have been at the trading post by now, even if he had stopped off at Jackson River. Well, when Blakey came in, we ate, and then we waited some more. Still no sound of another dog sled or Marco.
Wind seems to be slacking off some. Blizzard ain't far off. Wind always slacks off first. Who's for game of pinochle? What's the matter with all of you? You ain't spoke one decent word to me since I got here. Anybody think I was a wolf and sneaked in out of the woods or something? Well, why don't somebody say something?
How'd you get that bruise under your eye, Blakey?
How'd you get that bruise? You sit around and stare at me for a couple of hours, and then the only thing you can think of to say is, how'd you get that bruise?
What happened? Did you get in a fight with somebody?
I got the bruise from a rock.
But how?
I was working in the tunnel. We drove. Some rock fell out of the roof and a piece of it hit me. That's how I got it.
You're lying.
What's the matter with you, Belle?
You're lying, I said. You fought with Marco. That's how you got it.
I ain't fought with nobody. Why would I fight with him? We was partners.
Was, Blakey?
I mean, we still are.
What did you fight about, Blakey?
Nothing. We didn't fight about nothing.
You gotta have some reason, Blake. Your partners don't start fighting over nothing.
I mean, we wasn't fighting. Look, I don't know why Marco in here. I ain't his mother. Maybe he changed his mind. He said he was gonna be here. That's all I know about it.
Then why isn't he? He left before you did. You said so yourself. Where is he, Blakey?
I don't know. What's the matter with all of you? You think I killed him or something?
Yeah.
What?
That's right, Blakey. We think maybe you killed him.
Oh, come off of it. You're out of your mind. You're kidding. That's what it is, a joke, huh? Me killing old Marco. That's a laugh for you.
You're going to tell us about it, huh?
About what? There ain't nothing to tell. Now, look, if I had done something, why would I come straight here where you're all friendly? Is where you're expected.
Where else would you go?
Well, the Jackson River.
They don't have room to put a man up.
All right, I could head for Dawson or south to Whitehorse.
Storm too close. No time. Here only place.
All right, answer me one thing. Why? Why do you think I kill him?
Show him, LeClaire.
Yeah. This might be the reason, Blakey.
You've been going through my stuff. You got no right.
We did it anyway. Now, what about this?
I was going to tell you about that. I figured I'd wait and make it a kind of surprise.
Surprise?
It's rich quartz, Blakey. Must have opened up quite a pocket.
It's the richest load between here and Mackenzie Bay.
Not rich enough for two?
Marco didn't even know about it. I stumbled onto it after he'd already left. That's why I was keeping it for a surprise.
These two, Blakey, were you keeping these for a surprise? I gave him those gloves and that writing tablet. And I knitted that pair of socks last winter.
Well, he told me to pack up anything he'd missed. Bring it along. That proves he was figuring to come here.
Why?
Well, look, I know you're worried about Marco and all.
Oh, yeah.
But you're thinking the wrong way, all of you. You're all wrong. You're mixed up.
You're saying you didn't kill Marco, but you ain't saying it very good.
Joe, show him what you found in the sled.
You've got no right to bother my things.
This. That's your knife, Blakey?
This was a fox. I shot it on the trail. Skinned it for the dogs. That's how the blood got on it.
You skin fox. What'd you do with skin?
I left it. I'm a miner, not a trapper. I don't know anything about skins. Now look, the whole bunch of you. I'm getting fed up with this. Questions accusing me. What do you think you are, a court of some kind? I don't have to answer anything. I ain't on trial. I'm going to turn in.
Next morning, the barometer dropped again, and we knew that blizzard would hit any minute. All that day, we sat huddled around a wood stove, not talking, just thinking about Marco and Blakey. And just after dark, Blakey went outside to settle his dog team. By the time he came back in, we decided.
What are you all staring at?
Blakey, we're going to give you a trial.
A trial for what?
Jury of your peers. That's the only law we got. That's all we're likely to have till spring. Robertson bypassed as he got on through to Dawson to beat the blizzard. It's just you and us, Blakey.
You're crazy. You ain't the law.
If you got anything to say in your own defense, any explanation...
I ain't doing no more talking. You can't do nothing to me.
Whatever you say, Blinky.
Let's vote. Get it over with.
If he won't talk, there ain't no use asking him anything else. I say he killed Marco.
One vote guilty.
Two. Of course he did it.
Joe?
He killed.
There's three guilty and mine makes four. That's unanimous, Blinky.
And just what do you aim to do about it?
We got to decide.
Well, I'll decide for you. You ain't gonna do nothing. And you know why? Because of this.
Grab him, Joe.
Hold it.
Don't none of you move. Looks a little different now, don't
it? Put it down, Blakey. That rifle won't get you out of this.
It won't, huh? Well, I'd say it's made some changes already. 4-1. You felt mighty big, didn't you? Well, how do you feel now? Things is kind of even up a little, ain't they?
You can't hold us at gunpoint all winter.
I ain't figuring to. I'm getting out of here. And none of you better try to stop me.
Where are you planning to go?
That's my business. But I sure ain't going to stay around here no longer. Now, all of you, stay right where you are.
He's crazy. Where could he get to?
Nowhere's maybe, but he ain't thought that far. All he knows right now is he's going to get away.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Get your rifles. We'll go after him.
You are listening to Judgment Day at Triple Deer, tonight's presentation of Escape. Now, Escape and the second act of Judgment Day at Triple Deer.
Tracking down a fellow man is not a pleasant thing, even though he's crazed with fear. But there was no choice. The four of us stood a moment longer looking at the door that had slammed shut behind Blakey, and then...
Ready?
Yeah. Yeah, let's get it over with. Come on.
Don't let him get away.
Joe, you see, can you pick up his trail?
He couldn't have got far. He ain't had enough time.
Here. Well, back, start here. Come.
Oh. It's pitch dark to me. How can you see any tracks?
Me see. Come. He seems to be heading back up the trail.
On foot, without even snowshoes. He's out of his mind.
Guilt and fear, they do funny things to a man.
Leave trail now. Turn this way.
Oh.
Into the woods. Come.
Run. Get away from them. That's all he could think about there in the cabin.
Crazy. Clean out of his senses.
Go on back. Stay away from me.
He's holed up in that storage shed up on the creek bank. I saw the flash.
Why don't we leave him there? Let him get snowed in. Let him starve.
No. When a man begins to starve, he gets dangerous. He has that rifle and there's a whole case of ammunition in the shed. He could hang around the cabin and pick us off one at a time.
Me go. Me bring him.
You think you can slip up on him, Joe?
You talk. Shoot gun. Make noise. I go.
Blakey! Get out of here! Go back to the post.
Maybe this will shake him up a little.
You're wasting your time. I got cover and you ain't.
A Mad, dirty murderer. Pop, blast him out of there.
Hold it. You might hit the Indian.
Why don't you tell us about it, Blakey? About Marco. Get it off your chest. Where did you bury him?
I didn't bury nobody.
You mean you left him for the wolves?
You don't stop saying that. I'll get every last one of you before.
Hey, Joe must have got inside.
You come now. Everything all right. No trouble. You come.
All right. Let's go get him. We dragged him back to the falls. We tied his hands together behind his back and locked him in one of the bunk rooms. Then we sat, the four of us. We didn't say much, not looking at one another, knowing what we had to decide, putting it off as long as we could. And then it was Belle who had been in love with Marco and was ready not to go to pieces any minute. Finally brought it out in the open.
We can't sit here and put it off all winter. We got to decide what we're going to do. Get it over with.
I suppose you're right.
You know I'm right. What's the matter with all of you? What are you afraid of?
It's a big responsibility, Belle.
Not from me. Maybe you can feel sympathy for him, but I don't. He don't even count. 100 of him would make up for Marco.
Perhaps you're right, Belle, but what I was thinking, storm ain't hit yet, and as long as there's a chance Robertson will still come, well, maybe we ought to wait and leave it to him. After all, he's a law. It's his job.
The red coat no come now. Blizzard too close. You go very fast to Dawson. No one spend winter here.
Joe is right. We can't figure on turning Blakey over to the police. Robertson's already probably in Dawson. And we can try to keep him prisoner clear through the winter. I guess we all agree on that.
You know what I agree on.
So I guess we better make up our minds, huh?
Mine's made up now. You know that?
Yes, I know that, Belle.
Law of my people say, man who kills friends must die always.
I don't know, LeClaire. Killing a man in a fight or a battle when you're crazy mad, that's one thing. But doing it in cold blood like this, well, it ain't easy to face it. It ain't the same.
I guess we all feel that way about it. None of us want to do it. It looks to me like we don't have much choice.
We don't, and the sooner the better.
I don't know. The Mountie might still come.
Make up your mind, Higgins. If you're afraid, say so.
Well, it ain't that.
You agree with the rest of us, then, or don't you?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's settled then. We might as well get it over with, huh?
How are you thinking to do it, LeClaire?
Well, hanging, that's the usual way, I guess. That roof pole outside the front of the cabin, we could take him up on the roof and tie the other end of the rope to that pole. And then make him step off.
How much of a fall does it take?
I only seen it done once, down in the States.
Wouldn't do that. Have it go wrong. No call for him to suffer any more mess.
No, we do careful. We plan it all out.
Stop talking about it and do it. Do it and get it over with.
We're going to, Belle.
Well, get on with it.
Oh, Joe, get a ladder up against the eaves out there. Higgins and me, we cut a piece of rope.
Good.
Now, I guess we better tell him.
Decided to hang me.
Blakey.
You don't even know what you're saying. People don't sit down and decide they're going to hang somebody and expect to get away with it. You can't take the law into your own hands.
You're just making it harder for us, Blakey.
Harder for you? I'll make it harder for you when Robertson shows up.
Robertson ain't gonna show up.
You're out of your mind.
We're gonna have to drag you, Blakey.
You'll drag nobody. I'll walk. See just how far you're planning to go with it.
All right, we go out through the main room.
Belle, you know what you're figuring to do?
Yeah.
Well, do something. Stop him. You're a woman, Belle. You're different.
I wish there were 10 of you, Blakey, so they could hang you 10 times instead of once. Get him out of here. Take him out and get it over with.
Yeah, come on.
She's crazier than the rest of you. It's all crazy. It's all like a nightmare.
Watch your step, LeClaire. That crust is freezing slick.
Yeah.
Like it ain't real. It really happened. Not to me, anyway.
You know, that wind has died down some.
Always does just before the blizzard hits.
All right, Blakey. Climb up on the roof.
Roof?
Yeah.
And you climb the ladder, you'll want us to help you.
I can climb.
You go up there by the ridge pole, Blakey, up there where Joe is standing.
Yeah, better let me help you. A lot of snow on the roof.
Made easy with your hands tied that way.
All ready, roof tight. Everything ready.
Oh. Well, might as well we get on with it, huh?
Maybe you better tie it around his neck, LeClaire.
Huh?
You seen it done once.
If I can remember. Hey, Blakey, come stand closer to the edge here, huh?
Careful, LeClaire. It's dark. Don't slip.
Yeah, that's fine. Right there now.
Look, it's a joke, huh? That's what... You gents are just trying to scare me so we can laugh about it afterwards.
Oh, still, Blakey.
A joke. Still. A real good joke.
All right, that's fine.
That's very funny.
Well, it looks like we're ready.
Yeah. Well, you got any last words, Blakey? I guess you better say them now.
You jumped now.
Joe.
You jump.
Stop pushing.
You jump now.
We went inside. We left him swinging there, figured to take him down in daylight and bury him. I opened a bottle of brandy and we drank some fast in gulps. We needed it because it wasn't easy to do it. Not in cold blood that way. It didn't change much either when we stopped to think about it. It didn't bring Marco back to life, killing Blakey. Even Belle, who was crazy for revenge, was feeling sick. Then we got to thinking about Robertson, too, how he never missed stopping by before on his last trip out to Dawson. And then Joe heard it.
Dog! Here, dog! Glenn, come!
Robertson!
I told you we ought to wait. Now we're in for it.
We gotta do something. We gotta think of something to tell him. Make up a story.
Well, with Blakey still hanging out there, what story?
But we gotta do something.
All we can do is tell him the truth and hope he sees it the way we did. He's an old-timer in the North. He'll understand.
We'll make him understand. He'll be snowed in with us here. All us together for the rest of the winter. We'll make him understand.
We did right. At least we know it. I think he will.
Got a steak and a drink for a hungry man? Well?
Marco.
Why all the surprise? I promised you I'd be here, didn't I, Belle? Stopped over a couple of days in Jackson River. Dang, I got snowed in. Say, did Blakey make it all right? He was going to leave the mine a couple of days after I did.
Under the direction of Norman McDonald, Escape has brought you Judgment Day at Triple Deer by Les Crutchfield, starring Lawrence Dobkin with Harry Bartell. Thank you.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Now, wasn't that one scary? No, really, that one was. Judgment Day of Cripple Deer. It certainly was Judgment Day, wasn't it, huh? Boy. You know, if I were Blakey and everyone was after me, I wouldn't have just hung around, huh? Really? But I think I would have made snow tracks, huh? In fact, you could say a lot more than just my nose would run, huh? Oh, well, you know what they say. That snow business, huh? Really, though, hey. You know, I think he should have listened, though. No, really, I do. Because if he had, maybe he wouldn't have died in weather vane, huh? You know, when the law arrives and starts asking questions, at least they could say he was guilty of one thing. Eavesdropping, huh?
Really?
You know, he never should have given up to them. Even I could tell that when they said they were not going to hurt him, they were spelling not with a K, huh? I wonder what they told Mark when he got there. That his partnership to Blakey had just dissolved in thin air? Yeah. Now it's not just a trading post. It's a trading post-mortem, huh? Up next, the chicken hunt that ate the universe. So scary!
Comics and Comics, Toys and Games presents...
Mystery Playhouse.
Yes, Mystery Playhouse, the house where mystery plays. And we will join the caretaker for today's chilling tale after this. Folks, we all know comic books are one of today's best entertainment buys. But do the high prices prevent you from purchasing for the ones that you love, the comic books they love? In today's war economy, we're all forced to sacrifice something. That's why it's so reassuring to know that Comics and Comics Toys and Games is on your side. That's right, Comics and Comics Toys and Games fights prices endlessly, never surrendering to high cost. Get tomorrow's value at yesterday's prices today from Comics and Comics Toys and Games, your entertainment ally. And now, let's enter that most frightening of all places...
Mystery Playhouse.
Good evening, and welcome to the Mystery Playhouse. Tonight, we have a pulsing drama that'll make your blood run cold. It's about a heart that attacks. So if you want to be scared, you didn't come in vain, because it really can't be beaten. What's that you murmur? You can't operate under such pressure. Then perhaps you should bypass the following tale...
The chicken heart that ate the universe.
My name is Albert. Dr. Albert. Director of the Alpha Project at the Research Institute. It was entitled the Alpha Project after the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Alpha was chosen to symbolize the beginning. Unbeknownst to us, however, it would have been more aptly named Omega. For that was its ultimate fate. The beginning of the end. Dear listener, in the very near future, you will know firsthand the apocalypse I speak of. You will no doubt demand to know why, yet this I cannot tell you, for I do not know myself. I can only tell you how, and even then, my answer is still far from complete. Do not misunderstand me. This is not a warning. Warnings will do no good now. There is nowhere to escape. No, this is a confession. My confession to the world for destroying it. But although I am guilty indeed, I pray you will believe me when I say I'm innocent in design. So if you must condemn me, damn only my actions, not my soul. For my soul is good, and I only meant to do good and help mankind. That is what makes my continued existence on this planet all the more cruel, for I must witness the destruction my creation of life commits. The sick paradox. I did it to promote life. Oh, dear God, forgive me. You are the only one who can. Even I can't forgive myself. If I had only known then what I know now. But how could I? How could any of us? There was nothing sinister about the project. Half the team were made up of MDs, doctors sworn to a profession of prolonging life. That was, after all, our goal, to extend life, to eradicate death. Oh, the irony of it makes my head spin. But I won't go insane. I refuse to. I taunt fate with my sanity. Yes, everything you've done to me, fate, every accomplishment you have robbed me of, every effort you've twisted, every intent you've perverted, everything you've done to drive me mad, I'll endure. For no other reason than to spite you. Oh, forgive me. There madness lies. It all began with a simple hypothesis.
My fellow colleagues, I come before the National Academy of Sciences today with a simple hypothesis, one whose simplicity masks its incredible ramifications. My hypothesis is this. Death does not exist. Only life does. As cold is the absence of heat, so is death the absence of life. And therefore, if one could prevent the dissipation of life, one could prevent death. Like a rolling ball with zero friction, it would never stop. I ask you for the sponsoring of a special institution to research and experiment with the secrets of life, not the least of which would be the following proof of my theory. A simple organ, removed from its owner and placed in sterile surroundings. All the life-promoting agents present, yet all the death-promoting agents absent. You give me that facility, and I'll give you organs with prolonged lifespans. Proof of the very realistic possibility of retarding age. Man used to live only 45 years. Now that figure has doubled. And I predict, with your help, we can double that figure. Gentlemen, we stand at a crossroads. Which will it be? Assistance of nature or total and absolute domination of it? I ask you, which will it be?
Yes. And so the Alpha Project began. The simple organ was a chicken heart, kept alive by my project for 15 years. That's three times the normal lifespan. Imagine yourself living for 300 years. It is possible. I proved it. But interest in my project also faded with the years. It was rumored that funding might stop. That is when I decided to risk a specimen's death, to disconnect it just long enough to obtain a sample for testing. I was searching for something, anything that might rejuvenate interest from the Academy. But alas, I could never have anticipated what that something might be.
Doctor, are you sure you want to go through with this? I mean, if we can't get it to start up beating again, we'd lose our best proof that your theories are sound.
Ah, but Lois, if my theories are correct, we would expire before the chicken heart would, and someone else would get to analyze the tissue. No, we must obtain a sample, if only a small one. Science demands we not rest on our laurels. We must forge on. Besides, we should be able to restart the heart with ample current, and as you can see for yourself, it appears to be as good a condition as it ever was.
That's for certain.
Amazing. Even I would not have imagined it would preserve itself so well. It's almost as if, well...
What, Doctor?
It's almost as if it has re-entered a new growth stage, as if having passed its first cycle of growing, maturing, and supposedly dying, it is now starting over again, replacing old tissue.
Do you think that's possible?
I wish it were. If so,
We would be dealing with something far greater than just prolonging life. We would be on the threshold of immortality. But alas, I'm afraid it's only wishful thinking. All growth rates eventually level off, and hence, no matter how long we can prevent the deterioration from within, the outside weathering will one day cause the death of the subject. We should not reach for such status of the gods anyway, Lois. Such greed is historically the catalyst for much tragedy. Is not thrice the normal lifespan enough for you?
Of course, Doctor. It's just so unbelievable, that's all. We've come so far, and yet you suggest an even greater horizon may still be there for the taking.
Lois, Lois, such ambition. No wonder you're my best assistant. Well, if you're that anxious to see precisely what we are dealing with, you shall have the honor of taking the sample. The microscope will reveal any new developments, but don't get your hopes up. Officially, this is really just a progress analysis. Well, shall we begin?
I'm ready at your command.
No, no, your command. Count to five slowly. At three, I will disconnect the respirator and you can break the seal and open the container. At five, I will cut the current and you can reach in, pull the heart to the surface and scrape the sample. When you have it, just let go and the heart will float back down to the bottom. I'll give it the 50 amps. That should restart it. All right, Lois. You give the count.
One, two, three, four, five. Five. Doctor, is something the matter with the controls?
Yeah, what is going on? The power is off, but it's still receiving current. No. No, it isn't receiving current.
But it's still...
I know. It's still beating. This cannot be. Maybe it's just a reflex action. Go ahead, get the sample. We won't get a chance like this again. Just be extra careful. Don't cut it.
Ah, sure. Here goes.
Well, the current is definitely off now. Your hair would be on end now if it weren't. Gently, gently. Got it. Good, reseal. Good, good. Respirator on, and we'll just skip the power surge and turn on the...
What's the matter, Doctor? I'm away from it. You can turn on the current.
No. No, I can't.
Why not? It will die.
No. We must wait. We must wait till it stops beating on its own volition.
My goodness, it's still beating.
Yes. Yes, it is. Look at it. No sign of weakening. This is no reflex action, Lois. We will discover and record the exact moment it stops. Then we will restart it, and only then. And so we waited and watched. 5 full minutes passed, then 10, then 15, and each minute seemed like hours. We counted every second, every beat, and yet it showed no sign of weakening. I had Lois stand guard, ready with the power, and I raced to prepare the slide. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I hoped to see something to explain this incredible phenomena. As I looked into the lens, I couldn't believe what I saw. My God! Lois! Come see! Come see!
What about the heart? I've got to...
Now watch it! You've got to see this and tell me I'm not imagining it! It's remarkable!
Oh, my Lord! Could it be?
Yes, yes, it's true then. Not only is it still alive, but you saw one of the cells divide, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I mean, I do. There goes another one. And there's another.
This is beyond our wildest dreams. We are at the door of the gods. Life extension, that is nothing now. We have the proof that immortality is possible. If we can make all the cells replace themselves, there is nothing to subtract from life. My name will go down in history as... Let me have another look at that thing. Go check the heart.
Yes, Doctor.
Incredible. Still dividing. Before my very eyes. How is it doing over there?
As strong as ever.
So many surprises at once. We sat on the greatest discovery of all time and argued over trivia. Look at them divide. It's almost as if the rate were accelerating. We've got to tell the others. It can't wait. Hello, operator, hello.
Our switchboard closes down at 6, Doctor. We'll have to use an outside phone.
Of course. Lois, I'll guard things here. You go tell the others.
Yes, Doctor.
This one night will never be forgotten. Never. It will rewrite medicine. Nay, history itself. History. We've got to tell the press. Damn. Lois! Lois! We've got to get the word out.
Hello?
Bill, you're here.
Yeah, this is when I do the floors. You calling for me, Dr. Albert?
Yes, yes, you do fine. You go to the phone, an outside phone, and call the press. Tell them we have just discovered the first step to immortality.
Immortality?
Yes, you know, like the gods.
Gods? There's only one god, Dr. Albert. Being a doctor, I thought you'd know that.
Yes, yes, certainly, but what I mean is that we'll be just like him. You see this? It's a chicken heart that will never die. And soon, we will be able to do that to ourselves. We will never die, and all because of a chicken heart.
Dr. Albert, you're talking blasphemy. Death is the punishment of our sins. When Adam took the
fruit...
Yes,
yes, I know the story, but you don't understand. This is the most important event in the history of mankind.
I don't know if the Bible would agree with that, Doctor.
You fool, you don't understand what I'm saying. This heart will show us a key to infinite life. Death will be extinct because of it. Now, will you go to the press, or do I have to do it myself?
I don't know, Dr. Albert. All seems wrong
to me. All right, I'll do it. Just promise me that you will watch the heart, and if it stops beating, throw this switch. It probably won't stop. It's been over half an hour, and Lois will be back soon, replacing me if I'm not back in a second. But you watch the heart. You watch it, and if it stops, remember, all mankind.
Helping all mankind? By helping you? More like helping Satan. These scientists all alike. I thought Dr. Albert was better being a doctor and all, but it's just like all the rest. They think they know everything, calling everybody else fools. Do they know more than God? If I was supposed to live forever, that's the way it would be. Here I am helping them help the devil. Well, I ain't. Satan, return to hell and take your temptations with you. I may lose my job, but my soul's not for sale. Go to hell, Satan! Go to hell! You're going to go to heaven with the man that takes his entire life with you to the lake of fire! Take your own evil, but leave me out of it! Be gone from here! Be gone!
What's going on here, Bill? What in God's name are you doing? Do you realize what? Look, the heart, it's grown into something! But it's still alive. Bill, get a hold of yourself and help me with this thing. We've got to.
I ain't help no one help the devil. I know what you want with that thing, and I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to let you.
No, Bill. Put down that chair. You destroy that heart. You destroy over 20 years of... Watch out! This can't be. The heart. It's engulfed Bill.
The flesh from it, it's still growing. All over Bill. I've got to help him, even if it means...
What are you doing? What's happening here?
Oh, Doctor, thank God you're here. The heart, Bill smashed its container, and now it's completely swallowed him. We've got to get him out of it.
No, no, stay away from it. It's too late to help that fool. We've got to figure out what's happening. We could make matters worse. Perhaps fuel its growth. See how it grows. This is out of control. We've got to tell the others. Did you get through?
Yeah, they'll be here any minute, but they're not ready for... they won't have any weapons or anything.
The press is coming, too. They thought I was nuts on the phone, but when they see this... Lois, look out! Down by your foot!
Ah!
Take that! It's growing too fast to be near.
You saved my life.
I locked the door, but I do not know if it will do any good. Oh, Lois, what have we created?
Well, Doctor, show us the patient. Lois wouldn't tell us anything except that we were all going to be famous.
Infamous, if you only knew. The chicken heart has escaped and it is alive, growing, living flesh.
It killed Bill.
Bill the janitor?
Maybe he tried to convert it.
This is no joke. Bill is dead and we will all be unless we can kill it somehow fast.
Lois, if you both start celebrating before we got here, that's one thing, but... What the hell is going on in the lab?
Something fell.
No, no, do not go in there, I say. We locked it to keep that thing inside. It mustn't escape. It grows too fast.
You guys are taking this thing too far. Now, if something fell over in there, it's important to see what.
Yeah.
No, no, I command you as director of the project, stay outside.
Director or not, some of that gear is personal, and... Fellas, I'm getting a real bad feeling about this.
The light just went out.
Pray it wasn't knocked out.
That does it. Let's get this over with and open that damn door.
The laughter ended when they saw the horror. The living, crawling flesh. And still, no one could understand the ultimate danger. Even I could not fathom the gravity of the situation. I who created it. I who dreamed of the fame from it. I who was so certain history would remember me because of it. Oh, my prophecy was indeed correct. Only history would be a lot shorter than I expected. No one would help. No one would believe it until they actually saw it with their own eyes. And by then, it was too late. Even the press, who I hoped would sound the alarm, could hardly convince anyone, including themselves.
Hello, operator. Get me Mr. Regan, fast. Hello, Mr. Regan, this is Lewis. Listen, get me a rewrite, man. This thing is still growing. No, Chief, I tell you the truth. The corridor's choked with living, crawling flesh. No, 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 I'm not drunk. I'm telling you the truth. That little piece of flesh has grown until now it's jamming that building. All inside the space of an hour. You've got to believe me. It's the greatest news story of the generation, and here you are arguing with me. I tell you it's the truth. You've got to believe me.
You must believe me. I tell you, the only hope is to burn the building to the ground at once.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute. Take it easy.
I tell you, burn it to the ground. Burn it.
And I tell you, take it easy. I sent in a call, Doc.
No, no, don't you understand? For some reason, I can't even imagine. The tissue is doubling in size every hour. Do you know what that means? In another hour, it'll be twice the size it is now. And long before that, it will break open the building with the force of its pressure. And then it will be free. In the streets. Do you hear me? Free in the streets. And then those tentacles of protoplasm stretching out to feed on anything it can reach. What's happening? Look at it. See the walls. Cracking. I warned you. I warned you. I tried to warn you. Now it is too late. The heart is free.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, come to order, please. Gentlemen, please, quiet. As mayor, no one realizes more than I do the necessity of immediate action in curbing this unspeakable, unbelievable emergency. And I assure you, we'll do...
Cut the speeches, Mac. That blasted thing is spreading like a forest fire. Call the governor. Get the National Guard out. Do something.
Now wait. Wait just a minute. Please wait. Here is Dr. Albertson of the Research Institute. Please let him speak. Step up here, doctor.
Gentlemen,
gentlemen,
it was in my institute that this horror began. And if you give me a chance, perhaps I can stop it.
What is it, doctor? Tell us first what the monster really is.
Yes, I will tell you. That great ever-growing mass of flesh, it is, or it was, a chicken heart.
A chicken heart? Are you crazy, man? Have you gone mad?
A chicken heart?
Come on, Doc.
Listen! I tell you, that massive flesh was a chicken heart, the tissue of which, for some reason, is undergoing constant, rapid, accelerating growth. With each passing hour, its growth is doubling. Do you know what that means? It means that it is one block in size now. Within 30 hours, that cannibal flesh will have increased in size to one square block to the 30th power. In 30 hours, every inch of this entire city will be crushed under its moving flesh. Within 60 hours, it would have covered the entire state. Within 2 weeks, the entire United States. You ask for the National Guard. I say collect the entire army. Blast that thing on the earth. We must go.
All ready, Chief. Covers are all ready. Hoses are coupled up. We'll flood that thing with water from all angles.
All right. Here's the signal. Open them up. Full blast.
Chief. Chief, look out. The blasting creatures.
Everybody, everybody. Stop.
The fools. What good is water? I told them the only hope is artillery. bombs.
All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. General mobilization is now in progress in sectors R and N. I repeat, R and N. That's general
mobilization. Battery in position, sir.
Commence firing on the hour.
Yes, sir.
10, 5, 0. Commence firing.
Fire!
Useless. It's grown too large. It grows too quickly. The flesh is already engulfing the guns. They came too late.
You all right now, Dr. Albert?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right, Lois. All right.
I'm sure glad I located you. I stalled as long as I could. Another 10 minutes and we couldn't have taken off. That blasted protoplasm, or whatever it was sucking at the wheels by the time we left the ground.
Yes, yes, I saw.
5,000 feet. Well, we'll cruise up around here for a few minutes, and then we'll head west.
It'll do no good.
You can't mean it. It must stop growing sometime, it must.
Look at it down there, Lars. A gray blanket of evil covering everything. See how the roads are black with men and women and their children running for their lives. See how the protoplasmic gray reaches out and engulfs them.
Stop it! Stop talking like that! We'll get away! The government will send bombing planes, poison gas!
No hope. Listen to me, Lois. You remember only a handful of days ago you asked me my prophecy for the end of the Earth. You remember my answer? Oh, such a scholarly prophecy. Sensation of Earth's rotation. Mighty sounding astronomical theory. But now, this is reality, Lois. The end has come for humanity. Not in the red of atomic fusion, not in the glory of interstellar combustion, not in the peace of white, cold silence, but that creeping, grasping flesh below us. It is a joke, eh, Lewis? A great joke. The joke of the cosmos. The end of all mankind.
Well, why?
Because of a chicken heart.
No! No, we won't die. I can't die. I'll find a safe landing somewhere. I'll find a place. The motor! It's cut out! We're in a spin and I can't get out of it!
I told you! Doom!
No! No!
To all mankind!
No!
Doom!
No. We're falling right into it! Into the heart!
Did not crash. That would have been too kind, sparing me the agony of reciting my story before you now, testifying against myself. No, the engine restarted and control of the craft was restored. But Lois never regained control. He snapped, his keen mind overcome by the demons of the Ed. Demons from a Pandora's box that I helped open. Perhaps I should have made us crash. But with Lois hysterical, a man I considered my own son reduced to insanity, I was compelled not to give up. So I managed to keep the aircraft flying for hours, eventually using the two-way radio to find your airport and get emergency landing instructions. It wasn't too frightening when you don't really want to live. After landing and seeing to it that Lois was taken care of, I assisted authorities long distance with advice. But the bombs, the fires, and even my last hope, nerve gas, had no effect. Now they do not call back. Perhaps they've given up hope on me. Perhaps they've given up on themselves. Most likely, they're all dead. And I am here, at your station, replacing your music or favorite drama. There's no evacuation orders, there's nowhere to run. Just me and my story. Your story. My confession. The murder of all humanity. Judas hung himself for the betrayal of God's son, but I betrayed not only all God's children, but his entire creation. My suicide would be the easy way out. No, I will wait and witness my full punishment. I aspired for immortality and received instead the ultimate mortality. Oh, dear God, I now see the justice in it. But must you punish the rest of the world with me? They have done nothing, nothing. Or is that your point? They let me do everything. They let scientists like me practice with carte blanche, answering to no one until nothing could undo what we have done. Oh, but can't you see? That wasn't apathy. It was trust. Trust we earned. No. No, trust we bought. Trust we bought with plastics, appliances, and weapons created to make life all the more easier. Then perhaps it's true. Yes, friends, this isn't just my confession. It's yours, too. But don't let all the lying and misleading of the past cast doubt on the sincerity of our intent. We just didn't think. We were too busy thinking to think. Oh, dear listener, I have told all. The staff has left this station, a far greater indication of how close judgment is, rather than these reports that have been slipped to me earlier. I could only assume I am still on the air. I will not leave you, listener. I will stay with you until the end. It should be quick and hit unexpectedly, without warning. So perhaps we can die bravely, you and I, together, calm and... Wait! What's that? Do you hear it? The sound. Like death's drumming. Can you hear it? It has come. The chicken heart. It is upon us. In your neighborhood. At your door. It's come. It's come. It's come. It's...
Chickenheart That Ate the Universe is a Mystery Playhouse presentation, starring Kurt Kersteiner as Dr. Albert, Frank Scazzari as Lois, Bill McChristian as Bill and the Second Fireman, Russ Reynolds, the reporter, Chris Headington, the caretaker host, Jeffson Curry played the mayor, Jack Crowder, the patrolman, Dan Shoemaker, the major, Marty Priest, the general, and MCA Smith as the fire chief. Also starred were Michael McCarty and Allison Victor. The Chicken Heart That Ate the Universe was adapted from the original Lights Out drama, The Chicken Heart That Ate the World, rewritten and directed by Kurt Kersteiner. Produced by Doc Prezel, with special engineering assistance from Marty Priest. This has been a KFJC, KZSU co-production.
That was too scary. No, really, huh? The chicken heart that ate the universe. Ooh, scary.
I've heard of following your heart, but this heart follows you, huh?
Boy.
Talk about the chamber of horrors. This had it.
Really, huh? Boy, oh boy.
I'll give this much to Dr. Albert. At least by the end, you knew he was all heart, huh? And I'm not just talking about wearing the heart on his sleeve, either. All over him. Actually, the man had a lot to be thankful, though, really. You could say that his vessel runneth over. Blood vessel, that is. And what a story. What a pace. I'd even call it a pacemaker. How about you?
boy.
In fact, I think that story deserves the Pulitzer Prize. You know, it's just too bad he got burnt by his experiment. Hot burnt, huh? Maybe he should have tried eating his heart out, huh? Really? But kids, I've got to fly. So until next week, same bat time, same bat station. This is the Count saying, take a tip from Dr. Albert. If you can't beat them, join them.
No, no.